Say one of our names. Say your name again.
4, 3.
The team.
Falcon. Hi, this is Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. You're listening to 10 Renee Graham.
Thank you so very much.
This is Mike McDowell from the Indiana Ghost Crackers and Chaos Tours saying welcome to
the chaos and get down with the sickness.
Yeah.
Say your name again.
Stop it.
Say it again.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, and when I'm not out looking for ghosts, haunted places, and weird stuff all over the planet, I'm listening to Paranormal Radio with Renee Graham. I never miss a show, and if you miss a show, I swear I'll haunt you.
Thank you. That's good. Paranormal Radio, taking you beyond the limits. Sundays, 6 to 7 p.m. Central.
Simulcast on SRN Live.
What musicians do when they're not composing. Weird, wacky, anything but normal. This is your B-rated horror movie for the ears. Now there's some rules. Yeah, we've all got to have rules. So, rule number 31. Check the back seat. 2. A double tap. Rule number 4. Always wear your seatbelt. Rule number 14, always carry a change of mind. Rule number 18, remember up. Rule number 21, avoid strip clubs. Rule number 24, use your thumb. Rule number 26, a little sunscreen, you haven't hurt anybody. Rule number 28, double knot your shoes. Rule number 32, enjoy the little things. Sundays, the last Sunday, dead Sunday of every month. And they're coming to get you, Barbara. Don't be caught dead anywhere else. Or am I just dead wrong about the whole thing?
Hello, all you beautiful people. Thank you for hanging in there while we sorted out yet another round of technical difficulties, broadcasting live from the green room. Yes, it is Dead Speak Radio, and I am bringing you another edition of Ghouls Got Rhythm. Tonight, I have a guest that I've interviewed in the past, and, you know, if you folks haven't heard of him, well, I don't know where you all have been, but Brendan Shea, paranormal investigator, is a force to be reckoned with. He plays with the paranormal band Ghosts and Paper Hearts, and we have him here this evening headlining his brand new LP, Speak with the Dead. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I am good. I am good. I'm excited about your new stuff, man. This is way different from Consequences of Your Downfall. And for those of the listeners that have not heard any of your music, tell me a little bit about the band.
I lost what you said because you were breaking up a little bit.
I'm breaking up? Okay, so I lied. Our technical difficulties are not over. Tonight is going to be a pain in the ass, but hopefully it won't interfere with the music. What I asked was to share with our listeners what brought about the band Ghosts and Paper Hearts.
I've been involved with the paranormal field, as you know. Like, I've been investigating actively for the last 3.5 years. But I've had experiences with the supernatural my whole life. And, you know, I tell everybody the stories over and over again, and just that I've seen stuff, and, you know, I never claim to be any kind of sensitive or medium or anything like that, because I don't use any of those abilities that those people kind of learn. Like, I didn't know what was going on, and I just kind of, I got to a certain point in my life where I just blocked it out.
Right.
But since I was a child, it fascinated me so much that as soon as I could learn to read, I was reading this stuff, I was watching these scary movies, just trying to, just be part of this whole thing, trying to figure out what it was. And when I got old enough to, start reading books about it, and, reading what parapsychologists had written in the past and, stuff like that, it just intrigued me, and I wanted to learn more.
Right.
And I got to a point in my life where I could, start investigating and start actually taking an active role in looking for, things in the afterlife myself. And I joined the paranormal team, and I actually started one with my wife, my ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
I should say. And we, couldn't find people who were really, as into it as I was, and as passionate about it as I was. And so I had been online, just looking at different groups, and I found a guy who asked me to join, and that was the Central Ohio Ghost Squad. And so I joined that group, and I quickly rose the ranks and became the group's tech manager. And, I really became intrigued by listening to all the evidence and, listening to EVPs and stuff like that. And, so it's something I've always been passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been playing music my whole life. Music is a big part of my family. I come from a really huge Irish Catholic family, and, music, the traditional Irish music has always been, something that has been pushed on us since we were kids. I mean, I remember being 2 or 3 years old, and my mom was, always playing, the Clancy Brothers and Irish Rovers and that kind of stuff, but also, she was always playing Bob Marley, she was always playing Lionel Richie, John Denver. I mean, there was a whole slew of different eclectic array of music that she listened to that I grew up listening to, and just music just was something that she just impressed on me and all my siblings. So when I was, in high school, I was in bands, and it wasn't until after I graduated high school in 2000 that I met Mason Retta, and he had just moved here a year before from Southern California, and he was this little punk rock skateboard kid just like me, and we had mutual friends, so we met and we hit it off because we were talking about punk music, and then we started just kind of playing music on and off together.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a very serious band for almost 5 years, and we went on tour out west and stuff like that, but we were young stupid kids, and we were just about partying it up and not really taking the music seriously. So as, our lives progressed and more things came about, we each got married, we each had kids. I was going through a divorce, and I was hanging out with him. He was kind of helping me through it. And we just sat down, and he had written this stuff, and he had put, electronic drums to it. He played guitar and bass and just played me the song. And I was like, dude, that song is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I have lyrics. So we wrote this song, and I had used something I had written, about these, dreams that I used to have of, spirits, or supposed spirits, kind of telling their stories to me a little bit.
Right.
And so that's what this song was about. The song was about these different people coming to me and saying, hey, this is what happened to me. So the song was called Knox Noctis Memoria, and it was the first song we wrote. It's the first Ghost and Paperheart song there was. And so it kind of just started from there, and we just took the idea, hey, why don't we write about the supernatural stuff and gear it towards the paranormal, because that was what I was into at the time, and Mason was all about the idea. I have to give him most of the props because he's the one who he came up with the idea. So I had started with the words, but he just said, why don't we gear it that way, because you know, there's a band called The Misfits. It's one of the most notorious punk bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And their theme was that they wrote songs about horror movies and the stories behind the horror movies. And we kind of, you know, it was kind of like that kind of thing. We wanted to express some of these stories of events that have happened to me, and also some of the places I've been and some of the stories behind some of these hauntings. Like, we had wrote a song that is not on this new EP that we released. We were going to re-record it, but we fortunately we're not going to now, but we have a recording of it, and the song is called Nemesis. And the song is basically about a certain honky-tonk, haunted honky-tonk in Kentucky. And everyone always talks about one of the main spirits there being a young singer that was there, but there was more of an intriguing story of three other spirits that were there, two of which were dental students who beheaded the one's girlfriend after they botched her abortion. And they were known Satanists, and that's what that song is about. That song is about these two guys killing his girlfriend, and mm-hmm. she comes back. They say they're going to curse this place, and it just tells a story about how it all came about and why they're still there. So that's basically how we started, and, you know, we found two guys online on Craigslist, and it's just been, you know, it's been awesome ever since. It's just been an uphill climb for the last almost 2.5 years now, so...
And it sounds like it's been a hell of a ride. I mean, I think I met you, not on Craigslist, but on Facebook, just sort of fell into it just before you released your very first album. Interviewed you as a paranormal investigator, and ever since then, it seems that you're just getting busier and busier. And it's, for me, it's been fabulous watching the band grow and watching you get these gigs and seeing you perform and, you know, just all of that. Talk about a hell of a ride.
Yeah, it's been like, you know, like I was very much into investigating, and I actually stepped away from the team I was investigating with to pursue the music because it just became so, you know, we're not signed by any means, but we just are a band that we really wanted to push ourselves and really mm-hmm. wanted to tell everybody what we were about because we know we were doing something different that people weren't doing. And it wasn't to get famous, you know, it's about music and it's about what these things are. And I actually met somebody at Mid-South. I've been a huge fan of the Booth Brothers
mm-hmm.
for a long time. And I actually had the privilege of actually meeting them and hanging out with them the whole weekend long. I mean, not just, you know, seeing them at their table or whatever. Like, we went to the bar with them afterwards and hung out, and they're really cool guys. And
yeah.
Philip actually told me, he said, you know, our movies aren't about, you know, just the hauntings and the paranormal stuff. He said, we really want to be the voice for the dead, the ones who are trying to pass a message on. And I told him, I said, before every set that we play, when we come into it with our intro, that's pretty much what I say, because that's what our songs are about, you know.
Right.
The first real track on this EP that you'll hear tonight, that song is about that. It's about the dead wanting to be heard and wanting to let you know that, you know, not everything that everyone says about this field is evil and demonic and whatever kind of terms they throw out there. Like, there are actually people who, whether you believe it or not, there's something else out there, and people come back to try to send a message, you know, and that might be the only thing that they want, and then they can move on. But, you know, somebody's trying to relay a message, and I think it is our job as investigators and people actively involved in this field to, you know, listen to what they have to say and maybe try to pass the message on to somebody or something, or just, you know, just let it known that they are here. So.
Very well said, Brendan. I wish that more investigators had that sense of commitment to the field. You know, it's not just going in and getting a cool EVP. It's letting these folks be heard. So I think I'd like for Phil to play the first two tracks of your... Yeah, Phil's looking at me like, really? I have no time to cue this up?
I got it.
Yeah, okay, you got it. So I'd like you to... This LP is called Speak with the Dead. And we have track one and Digging Graves, which is going to talk a little bit more about what you just brought us to.
You want me to take
I love it. I love it. Are you still with
us?
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. You are welcome. Listening to this album, it sounds much more sad than your first one. Sounds like you guys were in a much different place than you were when you worked on Consequences of My Downfall. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, the song you just heard, we actually, that was newer before we recorded it. We kind of were in the middle of writing it while it was being recorded.
Okay.
So, you know, we wanted a faster, more in-your-face kind of song to start out. You know. And like I said, our plan was to release a full-length album, but we got in the works with the band Boba Flex. I don't know if you've heard of them, but we were supposed to record with their bass player. Was going to record us, and that kind of fell through, so we kind of put some of these other songs on the back burner. We actually recorded 8 songs, and we just picked the 2 that sounded the best, and then we added 2 acoustic ones, too, just to give people something, because we said we were coming out with something, and, you know, we just wanted people to have something, you know, to kind of tide them over, because people kept asking and asking. But, you know, that song was more in your face, and like I said, it's about, you know, when I wrote it. I wrote it, the lyrics to it, a year and a half ago. I was actually reviewing evidence, and like words just started coming to me, and I started writing them down. But you know, like we weren't in a different, darker place. We just had some songs that we had previously written that we wanted to release. And a couple of the acoustic ones you'll hear at the end, like there's one called The Silhouette, and that song was actually written in the last band me and Mason were in, and just never really saw the light of day, and we wanted to, you know, put it out there, and I changed the words to it to make it more about what it is about. But, you know, like, it's just, you know, when you're writing, it does really emotionally, sometimes you're in a spot where it's, you know, you just express it, and, you know, we weren't going for anything darker, but, you know, that's just how it came out, so...
It's okay. I'm in plenty of dark places myself. And I know what you mean. Sometimes it's not an intention. It's just what it is. And, you know, there have been times when people say to me, Renee, you know, you really are dark. Not that it's depressing or negative, but just sort of the take on it is a little bit maybe different than what people would think. And my standard reply is, without the darkness, there is no light. I think that a lot of creative processes are like that. You mentioned that the band is going to be going through some changes here pretty soon. Did you want to talk about that a little bit now?
Yeah, you know, like I said before, we have kids, and, you know, we have jobs, and we have just regular everyday lives. We're not at the level yet where we can just say, hey guys, let's take a, you know, 2-month tour, and, you know, we can live off that. We can't, you know, all the touring and stuff like that we've done, it's been just enough to pay for stuff that we've had to buy for the band. Like we bought a van, the beginning of the year, and we have a van payment, you know, so we're driving all over the Midwest to make money to pay this van off, and, you know, and at the end, we have just enough money to maybe pay, you know, gas in the van, you know, to get from the next show, and, yeah, that's just how it starts. It's just like a business, you know, they say you don't see the profit for, like, 5 years, and that's what we've started to build as a business, and, you know, we can't just take the time off to do this full time, and that's where it's coming to a hitch with, you know, some of the members in the band. We had a big ding for us like 3 or 4 months ago. Our drummer, Nick Nightmare, he was working in a job where he wasn't appreciated, and, you know, the guy works his rear end off, you know what I mean, and he was very loyal to his company, and he just didn't feel that he was getting the respect he deserved. I mean, you know, he was always talking about it, and he moved to Chicago and got a new job, you know. He got a better job in Chicago, Illinois, and we didn't know if he was going to leave us, so we were kind of looking for replacements for him. You know, we had a guy who was going to fill in for him till we found somebody full-time. And we started getting more steam behind us and more popularity built, and we actually were offered a sponsorship from a clothing company called Sullen. And I think that kind of sparked his interest a little more, and he decided that he's going to make it work. You know, he's at a point where he's in management where he can make his own schedule and stuff like that. So, you know, luckily he decided that he's going to stay, and but he drives to our shows, you know, from Chicago with his girlfriend. Wherever we play, he's driving somewhere. And so, you know, that takes some loyalty, and, you know, and I really respect Nick for doing that. Now, the big hurtful thing that broke my heart into a million pieces was 3 weeks ago, Mason, my best friend, he's been my best friend for the last 12 years, and he's going to be leaving the band after we play Scarefest. And he, you know, his daughter just started school, and he, you know, feels like that is where your kids take, you know, trump everything in your life, no matter what it is.
Absolutely.
What it is, something you really want to do, you might have to give up and make sacrifices for your kids, and that's what Mason's doing. And it's a very honorable thing, because his daughter's starting school, and the only time he's really going to get to see her and spend time with her is on the weekend. And, you know, I, like him, have a daughter, and I'm not at that point. My daughter's not at school yet, but, you know, I respect him for doing that. His kid's the most important thing in his life, and we all understand that that's why he has to leave. Now, we have people who are going to step up and replace him, and it's not going to be the same. It'll never be the same. The sound will never be the same.
Right.
And, you know, we're uncertain of our future at this point, you know what I mean, because we're going to play Scarefest and finish out the year, and then we're going to take a few months off, get these people ready to play, and hopefully come back next year ready to, you know, just take the world by storm. But, you know, Ghosts and Paper Hearts, as it is right now, will never, ever be the same without Mason. And there's a hope that, you know, something will work out for him, that he can come back, because, you know, no matter what happens, there's always going to be a spot for him in Ghosts and Paper Hearts, because he was a founder of the band. And, you know, sometimes that stuff happens in music, but, you know, we all, like I said, respect his decision, and we have his back 100%, and we give him whatever support he needs. And, you know, it's not the end of our friendship and whatever because he's leaving the band. It's just, you know, you do something with people that you love, and the something you love to do, you get to do with people you love, and when they have to step away from it, it hurts, you know. It's
absolutely. It's almost like they take a little...
We're going to try to, you know, to move forward as best we can. And, you know, like, I hate to say this to the next, like, we met the next guy who's going to be playing, you know, he's learning the songs or whatever. And I hate to say this to him, because, you know, but he's got big shoes to fill, because Mason, you know, Mason did, well, besides playing the shows, I mean, Mason did a lot of stuff for this band. Whether it was promoting, whether it was getting the shows, you know, he was booking it, whether it was making all the merch, you know, because that's what he does for a living. He does screen printing, you know. This guy's got big shoes to fill with Mason leaving, and it's going to be a big void for a long, long time.
Well, and you and Mason wrote most of the material together, too.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. So, of course, it's huge. But, you know, you're right. Being a parent, and other parents out there get this, and I don't think we really, as, you know, adult children, get this maybe until we have kids of our own, but I totally get that that's probably singularly the most important job we can do as human beings, if we choose to be parents, is to do that as well as we can, you know, with the resources that we have available. That's one of those few things, you know, whenever I find myself kind of, you know, wrapped up in something, I ask myself, is this really going to matter in 50 years? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. Whatever issue has got me all wrapped up isn't going to matter in 50 years. But time and time again, when it's come down to answers about my kids, yes, this is going to matter in 50 years, you know, whether or not you're there, whether or not you've spent time with them. So I totally get his decision. And, you know, like you said, there's still a future. It just may be a different future than, you know, what you had thought 2 years ago. Tell us a little bit more about Scarefest. That's exciting. I'm excited about it. When is it? Where is it?
It's the end of September, the last weekend in September. And we actually, you know, it's something that I've been trying to go through the last few years. And I have friends that go every year. And this year was going to be the year. You know, they finally convinced me to go. I was like, all right, I'm totally going. You know, we're going to spend the whole weekend. It's going to be amazing. And then Mason got an email from a guy in Kentucky. His name's Tim Thompson. And he works with Scarefest every year. And this is the first year that they're introducing music to Scarefest. And I've noticed this becoming a trend that a lot of paranormal meet and greets and conventions and conferences are having music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat. And, you know, for me, it's like, it's exciting because that's what we're about. You know?
Right.
Not to talk down on a lot of bands, but there's some bands that, like, try to jump on and play these things, you know, because they're into the horror or whatever. But we are about this. We sing about, you know, what this field is about. And it's exciting that we got asked to play. We, you know, we're ecstatic. When I got the phone call from Mason saying, hey, this guy wants us to play Scarefest. You ever heard of that? I was like, are you kidding me? It's a joke, isn't it? And he's like, no, like we're gonna play Scarefest, and we're gonna be co-headlining with Michael Graves. And I was like, no way. For people who don't know Michael Graves, he was the singer for the Misfits in the 90s. But I mean, it was just, oh, and it's so exciting. And like, we're playing, we might be playing three nights. I don't know if we got the third night like solidified yet. But
sweet.
The first night we're playing in Lexington at a bar called Al's Bar for Tim. And Thompson, he's having a big birthday party, and you know, it's like a pre-Scarefest show for all the for people who aren't going to be able to come to Scarefest that want to see these bands play.
Mm-hmm.
So all the same bands are going to be playing that night at this bar, so it'll be more up close and personal than actually Scarefest. And then the next night for Scarefest, the only difference in the night is Nick Roth's going to be opening up the show, the guy from Ghost Adventures, and he won't be playing the night before, but he's definitely playing Scarefest. He'll be opening up the show. And then there's some other local bands, the Loaded Nuns, and it's one of the bands that are playing. Ghost Favor Hearts, of course, will be there. And then Michael Graves is closing out the show. We'll play right before him. But, I mean, we can't wait for it. And, you know, it's going to be, like I said, it'll be Mason's final hurrah, so it'll be a lot more meaningful than what we initially thought it was going to be.
Right.
But we are just, you know, we're going to be spending all day Saturday at a merch table, and Michael Graves will be signing at our table for a little while. You know, and it's just be cool to see all these people that, you know, you've seen on TV. Like, I am super stoked because Josh Gates from Destination Truth is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes appearances every now and then, so it's like a rare appearance. So I'm right. Super stoked that he's going to be there. And, you know, there's just a bunch of, for like nerds like me, you know, who are into like The Walking Dead and the uh-huh. horror movies and stuff like that. There's a bunch of those people that have been in some of these movies that are going to be there, and I'm just like, you know, I'm going to be like a kid in a candy store when I get in there. You know, I have the VIP pass and I get to do all access and whatever, but I'll still be that little kid like, oh. You know, we're super excited about it.
And rightfully so. I mean, from where you are in life as a musician and as a paranormal investigator and as, you know, a horror geek, it really is sort of a nexus of all of those things sort of coming together for you. So, hell yeah, you're going to be like a little nerdy person on the inside going, wow, I can't believe it. Look at me.
Well, and I can't believe it too. Like, you know, I went to Mid-South a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And, you know, I have friends that, you know, I've networked with or whatever that I haven't seen in, you know, in a while, or sometimes I haven't even met. Like, Rosalind, do you remember Rosalind from Ghost Hunters Academy? She was one of the ones who, like, was a fantastic investigator, and they let her go real early.
She added
me as a friend on Facebook, and I've been talking to her for like over a year, and she was there and I got to meet her, and just like people that have been on TV or whatever, just regular down earth people that want to be friends with you, and you just hang out with them like, you know, every day. It's like, I never would imagine myself 2-3 years ago, like doing this kind of stuff. And people walk up to me like, oh, you're Brendan Shea from Ghost and Paper Parts. And I'm like, wow. You know, it's cool. I never would have pictured that would have been this far.
I think that it's, really speaks of the passion that you put into your music as well as your investigating. I'd like to play some more music. There's the next track is She Eats My Brains. Do you want him to talk about it? Phil's talking to me. You want Brendan to talk about it first, or you want to play it first?
Whatever he wants.
What does Brendan want?
I'll
Well, Brendan will tell you that this song was written after my divorce, and me and my ex-wife were going through some fighting times, and this song is about her. So, how she constantly just nags the crap out of me, therefore she eats my brains.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
Of my mind while looking me in the eye and smiles as she tears apart at my inside.
Good stuff. Brendan, I was hoping you could tell me a little bit about Benny Darkness.
We all have names in the band. I thought it'd be cool. Some people think it's dorky and retarded, but, you know, whatever. And Mason, his name actually comes from, he owns a skateboard and screen printing business, and it's called Careless Heart, and he had dubbed it, like, just from emails, whatever, M. Careless, like Mason from Careless Heart, whatever. So his name was just awesome right off the bat, like M. Careless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mine actually came from a dream that I had, how Ghost Paper Heart started, of this woman And, you know, she said in to me, like, in the dream, like, we'll be in darkness forever. And so I originally went with Be in Darkness, but we had a guy who was playing bass for us after Matt left for a little while, and he just started calling me Benny Darkness, so it kind of just stuck. So.
Is it an alter ego? I mean, do you find that when you go on stage that things are a little bit different, or that you're a little bit different?
Yeah, and I usually try to, you know, like if we're doing other interviews for like music stuff or whatever, I just try to go by Benny Darkness because, you know, you people who have been in bands before, like, you know, Jerry Only from the Misfits, his name's not really Jerry Only,
right?
By Jerry Only. You know, and stuff like that. So we, you know, tried to do that same kind of thing and just get the name out there just so it's associated with the band and the members of the band.
Do you, when Ghosts and Paper Hearts play, it's not just playing your music, you're performing a theatrical show as well. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
We try to make it, like, you know, exciting for people who have never seen it before. We try to make it what the music is about. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we'll come out to a theme, and we have a new one that we're going to be using for Scarefest. And it actually is amazing. And I have to give my girlfriend credit because she, like, said it would be, so cool if,
mm-hmm.
you know, a band would come out to this and she played the song. And it's actually the Resident Evil theme. And I was like, oh, that is awesome.
Cool.
And, you know, we try to do that, and then we just go right into the set. And, you know, one of the bands that I, you know, grew up listening to, and it's, like, still my favorite, except for the last album they put out really was terrible, was AFI, and their singer, Davey Havoc. If you ever get a chance to see them, they're an amazing live band, and they don't stand still. Not a single member of that band stands still.
Mm-hmm.
They're so into the music, and they played those songs hundreds of thousands of times, and you would have thought it was their first time playing the song.
That always amazes me when groups can do that. Absolutely amazes me.
And I've seen bands that, like, sound exactly like their CD, and, like, you listen to the CD, like, this is going to be awesome, the CD's got to play. And I've seen bands that I've loved that just stand there, and it's disappointing.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be a band like that. I wanted it to be, we're passionate about this music, this is what we're about. I don't care if there's two people in the crowd watching.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me. Like, it is part of who I am,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of what I'm trying to personify to the people. And that's just what we do. We make it a performance. We don't, you know, that's what it is. It's a performance. We're performing our music for people, and we want to express the energy that we feel writing these songs and playing these songs to everybody else. So we can't stand still. We can't. It's not who we are.
And I've seen you guys play. I've had the privilege of watching you a year ago, last summer, and I was blown away. I absolutely was blown away. The energy, the interaction that you have with the crowd, it was phenomenal. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I truly, truly enjoyed it so much that I bought T-shirts and stickers. And, hey, do you have any more of those stickers, by the way?
We have newer ones.
You have new ones?
Made.
Cool. So, do you have a website where we can get merchandise?
Yeah, we can, I can send you some stuff.
Okay, but what about the listeners? I mean, I know I'm special, but what about the listeners? Where can they get some stuff?
You can contact us at ghostsandpaperhearts@hotmail.com.
Okay.
You will be talking to me. The email will say from Mason, but I probably, you know, as I said, he's leaving, so I'm kind of taking over all the,
okay,
that kind of stuff. And, you know, it'll say Mason, but I'll be the one responding to it, and you can just leave your address or whatever. And if you want to buy any kind of merchandise, we do take credit cards, so you can, you know, if you want to talk to me over the phone, we can set it up that way, or if you feel comfortable enough putting your credit card number in or something like that, or you can just send me an address and you can write a check to us, you know, make it out to Brendan Shea. But, you know, we can do all that through Hotmail. It's ghostpaperhearts@hotmail.com, and you can also reach us on facebook.com/ghostpaperhearts.
And yeah, both of your LPs are available, and you had some really cool t-shirts that I think I bought I bought one for myself and one for Phil, and then I promptly stole both of them, like all good girlfriends do, to their poor boyfriends. Steal their t-shirts, cut off the sleeves, make them our own. I wear those around, and I think we slapped the sticker on the amp, but I want a couple more. I want one for Jezebel the Jeep, and put one on one of my dog crates, too. I drag poor dog around. So yeah, so cool stuff, guys. If you're into stuff like that, which I am.
If you want the music right now, you can get on iTunes, and you know it's on iTunes. Consequences of My Downfall is on iTunes.
Sweet.
Deep of the Dead actually was a rarity thing that we're gonna do, and we only have I think maybe 50 of those left, and those are just hard copy only.
Okay.
So, you'd have to contact us to get a copy of that. So.
Okay. And new album art, too. I mean, that... I'm sorry, I'm kind of old-fashioned. You know, I was really, really sad, you know, when all this stuff started going digital. Books as well as music. I mean, yeah, it makes it a lot more portable. Probably easier for people to sell, you know, in terms of sales. But as a consumer, I really like art. Really, really like the album art. So, and like the new picture for this one, too, Speak with the Dead.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we have another track to play. It's called Silhouette. Where did that one come from?
This one actually wrote music for in our last band, and I rewrote the lyrics because I always have lyrics laying around. And when I originally wrote the song, Mason wrote the song, the last band we were in, it was about a girl, but I had lyrics that kind of fit the music better, and I made it more about. The song is kind of dark because it has to do with losing my mother and like the place I was in and how I felt about, you know, the whole how I was raised with, you know, the Catholic faith and stuff like that, and like
yes.
Looking back and seeing all this stuff, like how could this be possible? How could I be conscious? But you know, people are trying to communicate and coming back and all that kind of stuff. So that's what this song is about.
Okay. Silhouette.
and nothing more. I wish I had never loved. I'm waiting to be told. I'm waiting to be heard. But I see your silhouette. You want my days over.
Wow. Miss her, huh?
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. I mean,
that's life.
It's beautiful, and I think that's true, though, that some people we will miss forever, no matter what. And thanks for sharing that part of you with us. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about artistic people, whether their medium is music or painting or, you know, whatever it is that you take such a huge risk in sharing such a personal part of you with the rest of us. And thank you. Again, very, very different, you know, from some of your other stuff, but in a good way, Brendan, in a good way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome. That was Silhouette from Ghosts and Paper Hearts, brand new LP, Speak with the Dead. You guys are going to be at Scarefest, and that is, you said, the middle of September? Do we have a website? End of September, Phil's telling me.
28th, 29th, and 30th.
Okay.
Is Scarefest. We'll be in Lexington at the 28th, playing at Al's Bar at the pre-Scarefest show. If anybody in that area wants to check that out, it's an Al's Bar. I don't know exactly where that's at, but it's in Lexington, Kentucky. Then the next day will be the Scarefest Paranormal Convention, and we'll be playing at the Convention Center, the Lexington Convention Center. And you can get on Scarefest.com or Scarefest. I forget what the website is. Just search Scarefest on Google, and you'll see. It's like scarefestcon.com or something like
okay.
that. But, you know, you can buy tickets. You can buy the tickets, like, daily, you know, or you can mm-hmm. buy a whole weekend pass.
So okay.
They have different statuses, whatever. But, that'll be Saturday night. We'll be playing. And, like I said, we'll play 11:30, and Michael Graves will close out the show at midnight. So, yep, it's going to be a fun time.
Very, very cool. We're going to have you introduce the last track, You Can Fly, You Can Fight, You Can Crow. And after that, I'll let the listeners know what a special treat we have for them after that one. So where...
The title of that song actually has nothing to do with what the song is about.
Okay.
There's a movie that I loved when I was a kid. And sometimes I like to do that. If I hang over the title for a song, I'll just be like, just whatever. That's actually from the movie Hook with
okay.
Robin Williams.
Yes.
You know, when Rufio tells him, you can fly, you can fight, you can crow, that's what that's about. But
okay.
This song is actually about a pretty young lady that lives in Cincinnati. And she, we're dating and we live far apart from each other. And this song is just about, you know, a hope on what you really want and what you, you know, You can put up with me, and that kind of is what the song is about.
Isn't that what relationships? Isn't that what relationships really
like
are about?
Every once in a while.
Yeah. You can fly. You can fight. You can crow.
Reaching out to hold your hand, so much more than just a friend. And
Was Benny Darkness, also known as Brendan Shea, with Ghosts and Paper Hearts singing You Can Fly, You Can Fight, You Can Crow. Sounds like a song that talks about hope and a mantra that I hold close to my heart, which is love is greater than fear. So
love.
So, you've got some good stuff going on, Brendan. You've got some challenges going on. You've had a hell of a ride in the last year and a half. You're going to take a couple months off from Ghosts and Paper Hearts, regroup. And what do you see 2013 bringing you?
We got a tour in the works, and we're going to record. And we're just going to see where it goes.
Sweet.
That's all we can do.
Might as well cancel it.
Sweet. What'd you say, Phil?
You might as well cancel that.
Cancel what?
That tour.
That tour? Why?
We ain't going to be here.
Oh, you believe that we're not going to be around.
Nah.
After Yule, huh?
Nah.
Nah?
We'll be here. I will, anyways. I don't know about you people.
Nobody listened to Phil. He doesn't usually talk much. That's why.
I just want to say a couple of things. Thank you guys so much. You guys have been promoting us for 2 years now, and we really, really do appreciate all the support we can get, you know, from you and from the paranormal community in general, and anybody who's ever bought our CD, who, you know, has watched us play, has walked up to us and shook our hand and shared the stage with us. You know, we wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for people like you guys. And, you know, we really appreciate the support, and we hope we can keep rocking out and, you know, making music that everybody likes.
Well, it's our pleasure, really. And glad that the trip out to Indianapolis last year was worth a couple of bologna sandwiches.
I enjoyed the beer.
Yeah.
I actually have to go, so.
I was going to let you go. I really was, because we're all going to turn into a pumpkin. We're going to say goodbye, but listeners, don't go anywhere, because after we say goodbye, Phil is going to stay chained to the PC, because he's actually going to be playing Consequences of My Downfall, Ghosts and Paper Hearts' first LP, in its entirety, uninterrupted. So, Brendan, thank you for being on. You were very gracious, and thank you for introducing us to Benny Darkness, although I think Benny Darkness was a little bit more of who I saw tonight, a little more quiet than usual, but thank you, and hopefully we'll see you at Scarefest. Follow Ghosts and Paper Hearts, Consequences of My Downfall, and the rest of you, until we see each other again, stay haunted.
Hiding. that you'll know how to tell you that I'm crazy about you. When you walk me on, Ken, you hold me near this full moon of tonight and staring at the stars now. You're caught in a gaze, you can't look away, and your eyes in a sparkle like they've never seen pain, but you see.
I swear you'll never 6 to 7 p.m. Central.
Simulcast.
I'm Pasar and Lon.
Did you know that there is a place where strange things happen all the time? Where stories of ghosts and dark shadows are all true? What if I told you that this is a place that is really haunted?
That this is a place
where the walls really do.
Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana, just 80 miles south of Indianapolis. Come play with us in our huge 3,700 square foot home, where ghost children like to play, where the 8-foot shadow figure called Big Black lurks, where the paranormal is reality. Whispers Estate. Every house has a story to tell. This one will haunt you. Visit www.whispersestate.net to place your reservation. That is, if you're not too scared to come.